Well, welcome to Clear Connections on All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Leanne Lester, and in studio today, I have Dolores Moskal. She's become a good friend and mentor of mine over the last few years. I've known her through different avenues like Toastmasters and going to her family farm to pick raspberries, and we've just built a great connection, and I've learned so much from her, and I'm hoping that our listeners will learn a lot from her today too. So welcome, Dolores. She is a financial planner and registered retirement consultant and a certified agricultural farm advisor. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you just for having the opportunity to be here today. It's just a wonderful opportunity to actually just speak with you, but also to speak to your audience and just give them a little bit of information about what I do.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Dolores.
Well, I think we talked about just, you know, needing a coach in your life. So whether it is a money manager coach or whether it sometimes is even a drill sergeant, it's needing to know that you're on the right track. And sometimes I feel that we get a little bit disillusioned with money matters, and there's just so many acronyms out there, and you're just so uncertain about what you should be doing. And so you just need that little bit of coaching to get you through those obstacles that might cause some uncertainty in your life.
Absolutely. So you have written, you have a blog, and you've also written an e-book, which I had the opportunity to just read through in the last few days, and you have some excellent, excellent information in there. So let's talk about some of the things that you've written in there. Specifically, you know, we're going to talk about finances and all that entails today. And so let's start off by talking about how do you tackle your finances and how do you make those goals to sit down? Because I know for myself, it can be very overwhelming and very daunting task. And I'm very thankful that I have my husband who is very well, he's very knowledgeable in that area. And so I've tended to lean on him a lot. But as I've read through your ebook, I thought, oh, this is information that I need to know myself in case at any time, you know, my husband may not be with me. My mom has had to learn how to do all this on her own as she lost her husband 10 years ago. And so, you know, not that I wish anything to happen, but we have to prepare and we have to plan. And so tell us, how can we start to do that?
Well, and I think you raised some very good points. There might come a time when you have to, and I think it's really good to get started earlier, just about understanding some of the basics. And we don't have to make it complicated. We're not talking about getting or jumping right into the stock market. Honestly, someday it's just all about just managing what you want out of life. So when you say goals, I sometimes just relate that to your dreams. Your goals, your dreams, and your aspirations.
Okay.
So you together, whether it's yourself and or your spouse, it's like, where do we want to be? And sometimes it's gauging it. Where do I want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15? So really that is the bottom line, is that is where we have to start. Because you're going to be at different stages in your life throughout. Like, again, for the people that might be listening today, they might be just getting out of university right now. And then there's always going to be, okay, well, maybe there's going to be a marriage. Maybe it's going to be children. Then eventually I'm going to be at the peak of my career. I eventually maybe want to retire. But in between, it's not always waiting for the next stage, but it's enjoying the stage that you're in. So at that point is your goals and your dreams and your aspirations are always going to change. So what you need to just do is identify them. And then what we need to next step would be is how are we going to achieve them? And so that's where we get into the process about setting SMART goals.
Okay, you know, SMART goals. I know about SMART goals, but some of our listeners may not know about what a SMART goal is. What's a SMART goal?
Well, typically, you know what somebody will say is, I want to retire sometimes, maybe when I'm 50, maybe when I'm 60. And at that point is, it's really, really vague. And I think that's the part about taking a vague goal and making it SMART and saying, being specific, exactly what time, you know, when, what age, what year, whatever it happens to be. Let's hone in on that. The M. Because, again, when we talk about SMART goals, it's all about acronyms. So it's the S, the M, the A, the R, and the T. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So all of those goals are, okay, if I want to retire, how much income am I going to need? Is it realistic? When is that timeline? So that's how we're going to turn it into something that is, you know, tangible, something that we can work towards. Taking those steps, those little baby steps is what I say. Because, again, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. Even if you're starting a business, it's not going to be an overnight success. That's probably the biggest thing I want to sometimes relate to is if you think about some of the things that you've done in the past as projects, they have all happened in small steps.
Right.
So that really is the foundation, is that, okay, what do I want to do? When do I want to do it? Is it realistic? And then setting some parameters around that.
So you would say that that would be the best place to start, is with a SMART goal.
Well, you need to know where you're going before mm-hmm. you can actually put some steps into place or some strategies. Let's even put it that way. Mm-hmm. Because when you meet with me, it's like I might be challenging you on some of those strategies that you think might work, and I might ask is, do you think that's going to work? And so then you might have to back off and think about that, because maybe realistically it's not. So then we just have to tweak it. Mm. And the best thing that I could say to you is that you don't have to listen to anything I say, because at the end, this plan, if we're going to go someplace with your goals, it has to work for you.
Right, right. I like that you had said in your ebook that a financial planner can be compared to a doctor. They diagnose potential problems. And really, that's kind of what you are.
Yes. Well, and part of that is that I often relate also to another quote that I like, is that there are the dreams that we have for our life, and then there are the dreams that life has for us.
Ah.
And so part of that is you might have things that you think this is what you want to accomplish, and in the end is there might be an unforeseen obstacle that you didn't see happening at all. So we have to be prepared for as much of the things that you want to have happen, but for some of the things that you don't want. So where we come down to is sitting down and saying, even when it comes to, I love my family enough, then I'm going to put life insurance in place. I'm going to have disability insurance. I'm going to go and make sure that I have done my will, that maybe I have put in place a living will, so that people always know my intentions going forward and saying is, you know, if I'm not here, I have taken care of my family. So those are the things sometimes that, you know, we're thinking about wonderful and glorious plans for our life, but then sometimes there's always the unexpected. The car accident that you didn't want to have happen, maybe the divorce, maybe a sudden death in the family. So those are the things that, you know, again, is with not putting some doom and gloom in here, but it's all about preparation as much as we can, because we can never prepare for all the things that life has to throw at us.
Mm-hmm. And we hope to think that we have a lot of time, but really our time here on this earth is very, very short. And so we have to learn how to manage our time as well. So another quote that you had was, one major enemy to achieving our goals is time. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, and the other part is we have a tendency to procrastinate. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing, is one day, and we know life gets so busy. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you sit down and you figure out what it is that you want to do, is that in the back of your mind, you know that you want to do it. And then what we do is we just put subtle techniques or strategies in place that it's happening, that one day you will get there, as long as we've already planned for it. So you can carry on with your busy life, if that makes any sense at all, doing the things that you want to do. Because what I'm often concerned about is that we live really, and maybe I should say our money lives in three worlds. What we're trying to do is stretch it to three worlds. We live in the present because we want to enjoy today. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're also catching up with the past. Maybe we've accumulated some debt. We have to get that paid down. But we also have to think of the future. So
right.
There's your three worlds. You know, again, is if we look at the present, we look at the past, and we look to the future, we're trying to create a balance. And that's,
right.
a balance between, you know, not necessarily being a Scrooge, but not also overspending to the point that, we're going broke.
Right, right. It's kind of like, if you tackle a diet or an exercise plan, you can't completely eliminate everything in your food choices, because you still need to live a little bit. And you have to look at all those different areas as well. Like, okay, what have I done, put into my body? What am I putting in now, and where do I want to be in the future? So yeah, that's pretty a good way to break it up and look at it in those three different ways.
Well, and what you're just actually saying is then it leads us into, why do I need to budget? And we can make it easier than just saying a budget, because I find that what we're trying to figure out is, number one, is when we know what your goals are and we know how to save for them, we're saving for that future. But remember, I want you to enjoy your present, but I also want you to catch up with your past. So when we talk about the budgeting part, sometimes it's as simple as how you handle your accounts. You know, giving yourself only so much money in your checking account, because there's other things that has to be designated. So what we're trying to do is just basically saying is that here's my pot of wealth right for today, because this is maybe my paycheck, or maybe if I'm self-employed, maybe I pay myself an income. But only so much goes to your checking account for what you just said, those everyday incidentals that we want to enjoy life. But you might also want to just say is, here's also my little kitty for the crazy things, for the wild things that I want to do. And it might not be exactly wild things, but you know, it might be the things that you indulge in yourself on. You know, it could be just having lunch with the girls, and maybe that's not necessarily in your family budget per se, but it's your crazy money. It's your, I can do this money, because you've chosen to do it within that specific time period, within that month, within that paycheck.
Right, and you've set a boundary for yourself so that it can be a protective thing for you, so that you don't end up in trouble down the road.
Absolutely, because that's the same time as I'm saying, you're trying to enjoy life today while you're preparing for tomorrow and catching up with the past.
You also talked in your ebook about your thought process and watching your thoughts. And how can you watch your thoughts when it comes to thinking about money?
Well, you just basically mentioned the quote, and you are what you think. And that's the part where you really can get down on yourself. You have to be really conscious of the fact is, how do you think? Do you think that you're poor? Do you think that you are comfortable? Do you think that you can achieve things? So there's that balancing part, is that I never want you to think negative thoughts about money, because again, it puts a damper on your believing in your capabilities to actually achieve what you want to achieve. You go, what am I going to try that for? What do I need to do that for? Or I can't do that. I don't need you to think like that, because, or most of the time it's like, I can't afford. We can't afford. Well, maybe we can't do it today. If it's really important, then we need to put it on your goal list and see how we can achieve that. Because that's basically the part where your self-talk is so important. So I sometimes even suggest is maybe just keeping track of how you think about money during the course of the day, maybe the conversations you have with your friends or even your family members. And when they have those kind of woes about, oh, my situation right now, it's like you have to be really cautious about how you approach those situations, because you don't want to get in that kind of dilemma. It's almost like if you could see to the end of the street, you would walk that way. And I think that's with your goals too as well, is that there's some light that's shedding on those goals. But if you stay there in the dark and you're wallowing in your self-pity, I think that's where you can get really stuck. And I think you can get stuck in your mind and your thoughts, and that's not where we want you to be. So again, going back to the part about being a financial planner and actually being able to help you walk you through that process would be that coach who can say is, it's not really very, for lack of a better word, healthy to think like that. Because, I mean, you have the capabilities. We just have to put the right strategies in place.
Right. You used the word can't. And just recently, I was listening to a speaker, Dr. Caroline Leaf. I love her material. And she's a neuroscientist, and she has studied the brain. And one of the things that she has said is that I can't and I can are both decisions. And so when you actually say I can't, you are making a decision. So, you know, it's going to have some sort of impact on you in the end. I thought that was very interesting. So it goes along with what you're saying as well.
And in either case, you're right. You either can't or you can. So which is it going to be?
Exactly.
And you always have the choice.
Exactly.
You're right.
Exactly. Very interesting. So you talked about budgeting a few minutes ago, and you've said that budgeting has to be tailored to fit your family's needs. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Well, it really does tie back to what is the current income coming into your household. And it does sometimes involve the partners. You know, so I think that's really important. You know, we can get easily separated and go in our own directions. And when we're talking about budgeting, it's almost like we might have her goals, we might have his goals, we might have our family goals. And that's fine. You know, as long as we know where we stand and everybody is respective of what those goals might be, we might, the best word I probably can think of, sometimes it's compromise.
Okay.
You know, so we've been dashing around a lot of quotes that have been coming around, but you know, the fact is that you can have anything you want, you just can't have everything. So you have to decide as a family how we're going to tailor what that income is coming in today because of what we're trying to do today and in the future. So it depends on what you have on your agenda. Is it important to do an annual vacation, or do we want to do the renovations on the kitchen?
So it's priority.
Exactly. So you have to decide, is what I said before, is you can have anything you want, you just can't have everything. So you have to decide sometimes where's the money going to go? Or what's it going to go towards? And then make that leap of faith and jump towards, this is what we're going to work on, and not get swayed. Because it's so easy when you suddenly see something that's advertised and you are bombarded with all of the marketing mm-hmm. out there. And it could be even right now as we talk, is there's lots of events that are happening that always lures the shopper in. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where you have to stay so focused. So as a family unit, sometimes it's even important at Christmas time, is as a family, do we want to spend money more on Christmas, or do we want to spend it on a family vacation that we'll take this summer or maybe at another time, mm-hmm. you know, maybe 2 years down the road. So I guess this is the part where it comes down to going back to step number one, is figuring out what you want, when you want it, and then just focusing on that, because it will prevent you from wasting or spending money on the wrong things that you didn't want, or maybe the least things that you wanted.
Okay.
So that's really, when we talk about budgeting, you know, it always goes back to, what do you really want?
Mm-hmm. That's where I get caught in the trap, is especially around Christmas time, because my husband says, okay, we're going to set a budget at Christmas time. And I love to give, and I want to give to my kids and bless my kids and bless my friends. And so it's easy for me to be out shopping and say, oh, this would just be perfect for my daughter. Oh, this would just be perfect for, you know, my friend. And before you know it, all those little things have added up. And my husband is coming to me going, Leanne, you've blown the budget here. So it's really hard for me. And, you know, I should watch what I'm saying, because, you know, I can't is a decision.
Yes.
But I find it a struggle to stay on that budget at that time of year. Do you have any tips that you can offer me or many others when it comes to, you know, things like Christmas or holidays or birthdays, different occasions where you just feel like, oh, you just want to spend a little bit more at this time of year?
Well, and I think probably the best tip that I know a lot of people are not going to like this too much is, honestly, when you carry cash, you can't overspend. It's the cards that really get us into trouble.
Yes.
You know, and I think that honestly is like that idea just popped into my head, because I did write a blog about cash diet mm-hmm. challenge, and how often I think that the reality is we don't realize how much we're spending until we come home and we add up the receipts. So a part of this is, I mean, you can carry your phone app with you that links up to your banking account as you pick every
so
purchase.
Easy.
Yeah,
it just slides right through your fingers.
Well, and that's the part with plastic. It's not tangible. You can't touch it, whereas cash, you can't. So again, as we live in a plastic world, and I'm not going to deny that for a minute, and just telling people, use cash. But honestly, is sometimes when you only have this much, and if that's all you were given, it's almost like going back to the days that this is your allowance, darling, this is all you can spend. It's the same thing. So what we really have to focus on and saying is, when I'm buying, or when I'm thinking about that person and I want to buy the gift, why does it have to be something that's material that will cost me money? You know, so part of that is, you know, when we're trying to show somebody or give them a gift, is we're really trying to give them our love and our affection and our appreciation. Mm-hmm. So is there other ways that we can do that doesn't necessarily cost us money, like you said, that's going to blow your budget? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the bottom line is it just comes down to awareness. So a lot of times it's no different than if we're talking about Christmas or we're talking about the whole year spending, how much money did we spend? Quite often, we don't want to know. And quite often, we don't want to change. Mm. And sometimes the fact is we have to change. Because if we go back to what we really want, and that, you know, you're going to notice through this conversation, it's like what you're saying is when you say you can't afford that, the question is what are you currently spending your money on that you can spend money on one less thing? And that seems to be my little tagline is, what's the one less thing that you can spend this week that you can tuck money aside for? And again, your goals. So I've got a dear friend who actually loves to lavish freely on her friends and her family at Christmas time. But what she does is every paycheck, she will put $50 away in what she calls her Christmas account. And mm-hmm. she's free to do that. Because my biggest concern about sometimes is overspending at Christmas time is the consequences that come after Christmas. And it's mm-hmm. Christmas fatigue when the bills start to come in. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden is that this isn't fun anymore. It was fun when I was shopping, but looking at the bills, you have anxiety. Right. And then the part that I find is that what happens is, then you know what we're happening? What's happening is we're jumping into February, and it's like, oh, I so need a warm winter vacation. And so then we just keep piling the bills on. Mm. You know, and
without actually getting to the root of the issue. Yeah. It's like having a tooth that's decayed, and you just keep, you know, getting it filled and getting it filled and getting it filled when maybe actually it just needs to be yanked right out.
Right. Or you just needed a root canal to begin with.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And you kept postponing it. No, that's precisely what it is. It's something that is inevitable that will catch up with you.
Right. Very interesting. So you have some tools that you talk about in your ebook as well. You say that there are two important tools that are necessary to help you when you're looking at your finances and you're making a plan. What are those two tools, Dolores?
Well, the very first one I think we talked about was your cash flow statement. And I don't want to, you know, it's almost the easiest way is money in, money out. So what are we currently bringing in, but really what's going out? So it tells you exactly what are we spending our money on. So it is everyday things that we think are essential sometimes, and I just had this conversation with someone the other day, is that we focus just on the utility bills. We focus on maybe the car plates and maybe the cell bills, but we forget all the discretionary expenses. How often do we eat out? How much money do we spend on gifting? And the biggest one sometimes right now is basically groceries. And not only just groceries, because we do need to eat, but how much are we wasting, you know, that goes out into the garbage?
Right.
But here's the part that I will always remember being told is, if you can imagine that for everything we threw in the garbage, even from our groceries, that was, you know, whether we cooked too much or whether we bought too much and it wound up being spoiled, imagine just taking a $5 or a $10 bill and just ripping it up and throwing it in the garbage. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. So what I'm saying is that when it comes to these tools, let's go back to these tools. When you look at and you know exactly what you're spending on groceries, you go, how can we cut back? Where can we save? Because if you don't know what you're spending, then you don't even know what areas you're spending it in. You won't know where to fix what might be the potential problem. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the tools. And so the other one is a net worth statement. So when we talk about net worth, it really is your assets. What do you own? It might be your home, it might be your car, you might have investments, you might have some savings accounts, you might actually have a pension plan. That's what I own, but what do I owe? What are all my liabilities? Mm-hmm. What money do I have owing on credit cards, maybe car payments or mortgage? Who do I owe money to? And at the bottom, we're trying to take, you know, a snapshot of, if I took what I own minus what I owe, so my assets minus my liabilities, how much am I worth today? So going forward is that you won't do this necessarily every month, but you might do it always on the first of, you know, the beginning of the year, on January the 1st. And it's a snapshot. It's a picture. Have I made any improvements, or have I slid back from one year to the other? Am I worth more, or have I put on more liabilities, taken on more debt, and all of a sudden is I'm sinking, and I'm sinking, and I'm sinking? Because sometimes, like we said, credit card debt can start to escalate, and we have no clue. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to have a clue is when we actually take a snapshot and just jot down everything that we own today, everything that we owe, and say, where do I stand today? Mm-hmm. Because down the road, it's going to be really important when we start to actually take some of that savings and try to fund our retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So your net worth statement really is a tool that is a way to measure, you know, how well you manage your money. You know, again, whether you do it at the beginning of the year, and then you do it at the end of the year. You have a view of what you, whether you paid down or maybe you've taken on something new.
Mm-hmm. So I like how you say jot those down, write things down, and have that snapshot picture, because there's something about, and I, as I'm coaching my clients as well, there's something about writing things down and putting them on paper that makes them more visible or more believable, or you just have a better idea. They're not just rolling around in your mind, but you've actually put some... put them down and they seem more tangible, and so it's easier to look at and assess and evaluate, and it just makes them more real when you actually write them down.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, one of my other blogs that I wrote was Draw It Out. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's when we're really stuck even on a strategy, what we should do. Do we buy the cabin at the lake or don't we? Do we buy it this lake or do we buy it that lake? Sometimes you have to put it in black and white so that you can almost look at the pros and the cons of each. It just helps in the decision-making process a lot easier. Or mm-hmm. makes it a lot easier, because then you are looking at, per se, a picture, whether you like it or whether you don't. What do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
Right. How you can change that picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it works with money too as well. And I know also the fact is they say that you're most likely to complete your goals if they are written down. And they statistically had done a study on university students at one point and said that the success rate of people was much, much higher when they wrote down their goals. So there is some magic, and I totally believe this, about, you know, from your thoughts down into your hand and then writing it down onto paper, there is this transformation that actually happens into reality.
Yes, I believe that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some tools, you've got some resources, you've talked about different exercises that you can do in your ebook that stood out to me, the rocking chair exercise. I thought that was a really neat exercise. I didn't have time this morning, but I'm going to go and do that. So talk about the rocking chair exercise and what do you do with that?
Well, and that's one of my favorites too. I always started off with this exercise, because what I found was a lot of people forgot how to dream. And whether people had rained on their parade or they may have thought something negative and said, I can't do that, it was a way for them to express how they could accomplish this. So if you can just imagine, the rocking chair exercise is just really taking a piece of paper, and I usually like to say a fluorescent sheet, so that you're going to fold it once, twice, three times, and four, so that you wind up with little squares. So when you unfold that sheet of paper, what you have is 16 squares in the front and 16 squares in the back. So if you can imagine 32 goals, dreams, and aspirations. Now, you're not going to do this in one sitting at all, but what you need to imagine is that you are 80 years old and you're sitting in your rocking chair. Maybe you're 90, maybe you're 100. I don't personally care what the age is, but you're in a care home and you've got all of the faculties in place. You know, you're very vibrant and you can see your life playing out before you through that window. And you're looking out the window and you're saying, that was my life. What did I want to see happen? And it gives you a way to say is, I wanted to do that. I wanted to learn to play the piano. I wanted to go to Hawaii. I wanted to take my grandchildren on a cruise. Maybe I just wanted to drive that beautiful vehicle that I've always imagined driving. So everything that you saw through that window in that little rocking chair exercise that I talk about, you being in a nursing home and you're looking out that window, is I want you to write it down. Mm-hmm. And so then some of those are the goals that we're going to work towards today. We're not going to wait for you to live with regret. We want you to actually be able to accomplish them today. So some of those goals will cost you money and some of them won't. Mm-hmm. You know, like learning to play bridge. It might be just taking a university class because maybe you've never gone to university, or maybe you just wanted to expand your knowledge on something else. But I think the beautiful part about that is going back to what I says is take that pen and actually physically write it down, because a goal will materialize into reality.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're close to running out of time today, Dolores, but it's just been so great to have you in and just get a bit of a picture of what you do and have our listeners just hear about how simple you make talking about finances. Like when I've almost been afraid of it, and I'm sure other people have been as well. It's like, no, and I don't want to tackle it, and then they procrastinate on it because it can be a little bit of a scary thing. But you have just made it so interesting, and your analogies and your acronyms and just the way that you explain how to work with our finances, it's just been very interesting and to me, it sounds very easy. The hard work I know will come, but it was just great to have you in here. And I'm hoping to have you back next month in January, and we can, this is kind of a bit of a two-part series, and we can talk a little bit more in depth about what we can do and how to tackle some things and maybe some other aspects of our finances, like investments and those type of things, which I know there you have a lot of good information as well in regards to those. So I just want to say thank you for coming in. And how can people get a hold of you, Dolores, if they want to connect with you?
Well, I do have a Facebook page, too, for my business. So it's Money Matters and So Do Your Dreams.
Okay.
Also, probably the easiest way is just to text me or phone me on my cell, which is 795-7519. Or, again, is even an email address, dolores.moskal@yourlink.ca. So it's just, I said we've got so many means through social media.
Yes.
That even LinkedIn is also another possibility. So it
okay.
just depends on which mode of connection you want to use.
Okay, and of course, our listeners can contact the station here, and we can always put you in touch with Dolores as well. Dolores has just been another gem in our community. She's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of abilities that can help you. She's a great friend and entrepreneur, and I just want to thank you for coming in today, Dolores.
I just appreciate the opportunity, and it's beautiful here.
Before we say goodbye, Jordan and Randy also had the chance to talk to another inspiring woman from the Parkland area. Kim Heshka is hosting a fundraiser supper tonight in Tonkin as she gets set to take part in a snowmobile rally that will feature a dozen riders from across Saskatchewan, all in support of raising awareness and money for breast cancer initiatives.
Kim Heshka, good morning.
Good morning.
The kamikaze, the kimikaze of Ryan, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Roller derby. We'll. That's for another day.
Yes,
Prairie Women on Snowmobiles. You've got a big fundraiser Friday in Tonkin to help you out. But first of all, this is for breast cancer awareness and research. So you got involved. Why?
I got involved. Well, I lost my mom 7 years ago to pancreatic cancer, and also my mother-in-law to breast cancer. And I've always done, like, things to do with cancer, because cancer is a big thing in the community, well, all over, but in my family especially, and breast cancer.
Touches home to everybody. So this is your first time involved as a participant?
Mm-hmm.
So why then did you step up and go, you know what, want to do something more, raise some money, but you're going to do it, you snowmobile, so it was a good fit?
Yes, it was. And I've always watched the Prairie Women to, you know, see where they are on their route at that time when they do go, kind of thing, you know. I was wondering, well, wonder if I could be one of them, kind of thing, and go with them. So I am. They're a great bunch of ladies to be with.
Now, each rider has to raise a minimum of $3,000, right?
Yes, we do.
So you're going to kind of kick off with an event Friday in Tonkin. We're going to get to one of the menu items in a moment. But what are you asking everybody to do that night?
To come with an open heart, and I'm going to have door prizes and, of course, the cash bar, and, you know, just come and enjoy the fellowship and everything. And then, you know, if you got questions about the ride or where we're going to be, or I'll have pamphlets and stuff and all that kind of thing as to where we'll be each day, because each day we're at a different stop.
So Tonkin, Friday night,
yes.
Starts at 5.
Yeah, 5 till 8,
now,
until the pierogies run out.
Until the pierogies run out. That could be quick. So, again, what's the dinner cost in that?
It's $20 for adults and $15 for 10 to 12.
Right.
Yeah, 5 and under is free.
Okay, now pierogies and sausage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking
and
that
Harvest Meats is going to be the supplier of the sausage.
Oh, that's great. That's nice that they're on board for that. And deep fried pineapple. Take me through that.
Well, that's my other half's concoction. It's a deep fried pineapple in a batter.
Okay.
And then he's going to put caramel drizzle on it with whipped cream and
strawberries. Oh, my, that sounds pretty darn good.
You could charge another $20 on top of that, I think.
Exactly.
So he's made this before.
Yes, he has.
You've had it before.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your, give us your critique on it.
Well, it's mouthwatering.
Oh, that's the best way to put it.
Very good.
So
it's
very
slimming.
You see? Yeah, I bet.
Well, yeah, there are much worse things to deep fry. A pineapple? Hey? Well, yeah.
Well, you get all that caramel and whipped cream on it. Mmm, pretty darn good.
Yes.
Now, this is this a kickoff event for you as far as fundraising is concerned? Or?
Yeah, this is a big one for close. I did a littler one in Ryan kind of thing, but I thought I'd go a little closer to Yorkton kind of thing. And Yorkton is kind of where she curled and my aunties and stuff curled too. So, you know, kind of bring everybody closer there. And it's, you know, it's a small little community.
What's the best way for people who can't get to Tonkin but are out there and want to support you in what you're doing and want to make a donation? How best could they do that?
They can contact me through my cell, or they can go onto the Prairie Women Snowmobiles website.
Right.
And on there will be my picture and everything in my bio, and then they can just click donate on there.
You want to give your cell number out?
Yeah, 306-621-7283.
Friday night in Tonkin. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of people. The run itself is not until next year, right?
Yeah,
really?
February 4th to the 9th.
1,400 kilometers.
Yes, it is, about 250 a day.
Sore butt after that?
And we start off in Regina and we end off in Estevan.
Okay, a south run.
Yes, a south run this year.
So are you going to be a little sore? All these kilometers every day? Huh?
Yes. Yes, we have one lady who's been on the run before, and I kind of said to her, so what do I have to do to get prepared? She goes, do lots of squats.
There you go.
Hey, not even on the machine. Get the squats. Now, that's something you probably do as the kimikaze when you're in roller derby anyhow,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
In your preparation. Hey, have a great night on Friday, Kim. Thanks for guesting with us for a worthwhile cause, breast cancer, Prairie Women's on Snowmobile. Good luck and as we head to the run in February.